Hi, welcome back to another episode of SharePoint Conference Television. We're here live in Las Vegas from the conference floor, sharing information from some of the thought leaders in this space. It's an exciting place to be. It's an international group of people, of experts who are willing to share their experience with all of us. And I'm happy to have another one of those experts here with me today. Agnes, do you want to introduce yourself to our viewers?
Sure. Welcome, everyone. My name is Agnes Molnár. I'm from Hungary, and I've been working with SharePoint for like 12 years from the very, very first version. My main focus is on enterprise content management, information architecture, and search.
That's a great space, near and dear to my heart. I've been in ECM for so long, and I always thought SharePoint was such a powerful tool there. But also, you know, powerful tools need to be managed, right?
Exactly. So technology is only one part, but we also have to consider the content and the users as well, and the user's behavior, the user's needs.
Right. What is it that people are actually needing? What are they looking for? That makes so much sense. I know you have deep expertise in information architecture, and how do you apply that in the SharePoint world? What do you do?
Yes, basically what I always recommend is to do a kind of inventory first, what you do have today and what you are going to have in 1 year, 5 years, what's your plan, what's your future vision of that. And based on this inventory, we can extract a lot of information about your content. For example, what kind of documents you have, what kind of content you have, what kind of metadata you have, what kind of metadata you do not have but you should have or won't have, how many documents you have, and all those kind of things. How you structure them today, is it good or not? How it should be structured in the future. So it's a huge process at the beginning. It's a huge planning process doing this inventory. It sounds easy because it's just an inventory, but still it's very important, and it's a very big process at the beginning.
It is. And you know, I think sometimes when people think about information architecture, they get a little nervous because it's a pretty daunting exercise, right? Do you, when you lead that for people, how do you help them understand and break it into chunks?
Basically what I usually do is I always suggest to start with a small set of content, but with something that is important for them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I call this as the golden set of content because it's important enough. It has a very high business value, but at the same time, it's just a smaller, not the whole body of content. So starting with this small content, you know, just reorganizing, maybe changing the structure, tagging the content with metadata, with taxonomy, and then the first value for them is just seeing the value in it. Hey, if we structure our content, if we organize our content in a good way, we will get this one. And of course, they can promote it, they can present it to the other parts of their company. At the same time, if they have a good information architecture, they can have good search experience as well. And this nice and good and really fancy search experience can be promoted as well to the other parts, so they will understand the business value in it. So starting small, start with a small but important set of content and promote it and go one by one. So it's a kind of agile process in information architecture.
That's a brilliant approach. I think that gets people in the door so they can also see business value more quickly.
Absolutely. Very soon, so very quickly they can see the business value, but at the same time they don't have to spend a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of resources on it. Just start in small and then expand it.
Yeah, that's great. And some people now, you know, if it's new for them and they're just coming in, that's a great scenario. But what if they've already had SharePoint for some time and they've got a lot of content out there and it wasn't tagged before or they didn't do that work? You know, sometimes it's harder to clean the room that you haven't cleaned for a while than to pick something up every day a little bit,
right? I would say it's always a big, much bigger challenge. You are absolutely right with that. What I recommend in this case, again, just try to start in small, although sometimes it's not easy because you have to restructure everything, reorganize everything. So sometimes you cannot do something on a small place only, but always I would highlight the importance of inventory, what you have, where you have, why you have this structure, what you have. Maybe this is just because your users, when they upload their documents, and this is a very common example. So when the users tries to upload a document into SharePoint and they don't know where to upload it, in a lot of cases, they create a new document library.
That's right.
Because they cannot find out where this document should go. So creating a document library is their everyday practice, although it's not a good practice, though. So you have to find a reason. You have to find a motivation why you are there today and what drove you there. And of course, what you have, why you have, how it's organized today, what kind of content you have, what content has value for you, and what content is not that important for you. So you have to separate them. And again, if you have the content that has high value for your company, you can start with that. Just focus on that content. And most likely, you cannot do everything for the first time right.
Right.
But at least you do something.
Right.
That is exactly. Much better than
yeah, doing nothing at all,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
President Clinton said almost the same thing in his
exactly.
keynote, right?
Exactly.
We don't have an excuse to do nothing just because we can't do everything. I think that's really true in information architecture as well. You brought up something, though, that I wanted to understand a little bit better, though, which is, so as we are moving to the cloud in some cases, do you see that as an opportunity to rethink the way the information architecture is implemented in the cloud? Because I'm wondering if everything really needs to go. Aren't some documents end of life?
Sometimes, yes. It might be the end of life for the documents. But I believe and I think we absolutely have to rethink our vision, our world of information architecture and content management, just because the way we consume the content has been changing and will change in the future too. Just think of the Oslo.
Yes.
It's a very good example. It's a new, I believe it's a new generation of information consuming.
It's search-driven, right? It's search-driven based on your behavior. For those who may not have seen the demonstration yet, you know, it's a really personalized experience of content that comes to you rather than you having to go to it.
So exactly. Exactly. So it's all search-driven. It has the intelligence behind it. It has all the information about your previous behavior, about your previous habits, your previous, your colleagues, your connections, your relationships, everything. So it pushes the content to you instead of you should go to the different places to collect everything.
Right, right, exactly. You know, you're so right. And also, don't you think new form factors, right? Consuming content on mobile devices and in tablet experiences changes the way that you consume that. So the information
Absolutely.
Architecture, yeah.
And we have it with us. So I have my mobile in my bag. So I can do that everywhere, anytime, yeah. Around the world, 24 hours a day.
Exactly. And we do.
And we do.
Maybe we need a little work-life balance there, maybe. But yes, we should
not do
that.
Yeah,
exactly. We have the ability to do that, which is what's important, actually, because if there's an issue, I can resolve it right where I am.
This is how we work.
Yeah, yeah.
This is why I can work from my home office around the world.
Yes, exactly. No, it's great. I'm always interested in the global perspective. You know, I mean, I'm based in the U.S. and there in Redmond, sometimes you're thinking about things differently. I'm always interested to understand how are the customers that you're dealing with back in Hungary thinking about Office 365, you know, the content management experience?
Well, basically, it's very hard to say because I don't have any customers in Hungary.
Interesting.
So I work mostly for customers in Western Europe and in the U.S., but what I can tell you, Office 365 is still not... it's still not so accepted in Hungary.
Right.
Because, you know, the security and all those kind of things, and it's new, and you know, that part of the world is always a bit scared about the new things. So it's very slow there, mm-hmm. but in Western Europe, it's getting up, mm-hmm. and more, that this is what I can see.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised. I was at a conference last week in Copenhagen, Denmark, And I was really, really surprised how the Western European and especially the Scandinavian countries use the social features.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so everyone was telling about Yammer and Facebook and at Facebook in the enterprise. I was, what?
Yeah.
But it does exist.
It does. It does. And, you know, some librarians, I think that global perspective is fascinating because the issues that folks have are important and we need to understand them so that we can, you know, respond. The other thing that I'm interested in, though, is some librarians and master librarians that I've spoken to think about social in some ways is a little bit of a break of content management because it is outside the metadata structure, at least currently, right? We have topics and what have you, but it's a little bit different. How do you think of social coming in and is the conversation like a document to you?
To be honest, at the very beginning, I didn't even realize the value in social. I was like, okay, it's something that is cool, but I was like, okay, I don't see why it is important for me from information architecture perspective, from search and everything. But it's there, and it is important. So I just, you know, I had to realize that this is how I work. Mm-hmm. And I use Yammer, I use SharePoint Social and everything. And it's really cool because from content management perspective, it also opens up the world. Mm-hmm. So you are not tied into your office anymore, but you can collaborate with everyone everywhere.
It's amazing.
It is.
And I think you just really laid out, you're having a personal experience with it. And that personal experience is showing you the value of it. And we have to think about this for our customers and on a broader scale, for sure.
Yeah.
That's great. I love talking to you, Agnes. I always do. I see you on Twitter. It's great to actually see you in person for once. So I really appreciate you coming out and taking your time. I know you're really busy.
Thank you very much.
And sharing your knowledge.
Thank you.
I know our viewers.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you so much. If you'd like to learn more about Agnes and the knowledge that she has and information architecture and the content management space, you can go and check out her blog, aghy.hu. That information will be available on Channel 9 in the description of this segment. And also, she taught two classes here at SharePoint Conference, SPC 207 and SPC 229. So check out those sessions as well. It's a fascinating space, and really making sure that you have good information architecture will increase the usability of your SharePoint implementation. I'm Kara Wanigatimu from Microsoft IT, and thanks for joining me for another segment of SharePoint Conference Television, powered by Channel 9.